Greetings and salutations, ding-dongs. I am back after a little bit of absence with our MLM series. It's been a wild ride since Beverly and I have started doing our dive into MLMs. And we had a little bit of a break in between episodes. We had various competing life schedule issues, you know, popping up. But we're back, Beverly.
Yes, we finally made it.
Yes. And I want to remind people off the bat that Beverly and I have recorded two episodes of discussing various MLMs, and those are episodes 26 and 27. And then there's an episode 28 that I did with my friend Jackie, who spent some time in Beachbody, which is a fitness and lifestyle MLM. So if you haven't listened to those episodes, I invite you to go back and do that. Before we dive into this, you'll still be able to follow along, but I think we'll be referring a good bit to those episodes. So you know, we want you to have the full experience. So This one though is a little different. This is going to be a short episode, and Beverly, this is technically a ding dong ditch episode. That's what I call all my shorts that are usually under 30 minutes. And so you are the first guest that has ever appeared on a ding dong ditch. So,
oh my God, I feel really special right now. And I'm not being sarcastic even. That's very exciting.
We had a special reason to come back to this. And this is about following up a little bit on our Amway discussion. That was in episode 27. And suffice it to say, the episode was really popular with the listeners, but we had a few unsatisfied customers. And some were courteous enough. And then some of them were just quietly going in stealth, giving my show one-star reviews or passive-aggressive things of that nature. But we also got a review over on iTunes.
Well, this is going
to
be good.
I thought it was just so entertaining that I wanted to read it. And then we could like pick it apart a little. And then I also wanted to talk a little more about Amway stuff that we didn't cover in that episode that I actually kind of discovered after the fact. So this is going to encompass all of that. But we'll start with this lovely one-star review over on iTunes. And here it goes. Because I titled the episode Amway is a Scam, Bae. She titled her review, "This podcast is a scam, right, Bae," which was lame. Not only did you steal my joke, but it doesn't even rhyme. She begins, and I say she because her screen name gives a feminine vibe. "If you want to listen to two basics who think they're smarter than greats like Robert Kiyosaki, this might be the podcast for you." We're basics, Beverly. We're just...
I don't even like pumpkin spice.
I don't own a pair of Uggs or a North Face vest. Okay, she continues. "Your information is irresponsibly inaccurate." I disagree. "Surrounding yourself with positive people who breathe success and motivation into you is not a cult, sweetheart. It is a culture, and you're confused. Let's talk about why only a small percentage of people succeed in direct selling businesses. It's because the majority of people are lazy and would rather be slave to someone else's dream their entire lives than work diligently toward their own. They're quitters. Why would anyone listen to a quitter?" It sounds like someone didn't listen to my lesson on survivorship bias. That was covered back in that same episode. Did she not?
I was just going to say, like, it sounds like somebody who's all in and doesn't want to believe that, like, maybe that they're going to fail. And if they do, it won't be their fault because of, you know, da 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 da. Like, they're kind of.
And anybody who quits is a loser. Okay. They're quitters and they didn't deserve it. It's the classic refrain from the true believer. And newsflash, this is my favorite part. Jobs are the actual pyramid scheme. We've heard this before. Get your little pen and paper and draw it out yourself. Oh, yeah. Guess what shape you end up with? It's unreal to me that people are still this clueless and misinformed. Oh, sweetheart. Like, we haven't heard the argument that MLMers make.
I actually mentioned that in one of the episodes. Yes. I don't remember which one.
I think it was the first one. Yeah.
Because that's such a common thing. It's like, yeah, but guess what? If I get hired somewhere, I don't need to recruit the people under me.
Yeah. Ask your non-traditional employer what your benefits package is. Do you get vacation? What's your paid time off situation? Do you have insurance? Please tell me. If this is like a normal company, like any other company, then tell me, like, when do you get your W-2?
And also, like, if you quit your job, people actually wish you well and they don't all hate you and try to, like, outgroup you. So
remember, Beverly, this is a culture, not a cult.
Yeah, I guess it's a culture of being an asshole.
Let's see what else she has to say. Meanwhile, people living incredible lives with the freedom of time, freedom of location, and freedom of money are laughing their butts off at you. Are they? Well, they probably are, but I don't think they have those things.
Yeah, and of course, the interesting thing is, I actually do own an actual business, and I do have freedom of time and freedom of place and all of those things, and it's fantastic, but I don't need to, like, abuse people's finances or anything to do my business. I actually just do the thing that I say I'm going to do.
Yeah, I make things, and then I get money for them. That's my job, and I have all the business stuff. I file a Schedule C every year, just like any other business owner. And let me tell you, fine, laugh your butt off at me. But at the end of the day, I don't have to recruit. I'm lucky enough to have people that want to come on the show and talk with me. But that's not quite the same. I didn't promise Beverly any riches or anything like that.
And when I say the thing about the business just being... like I say the thing that I say I'm going to do, I'm of course referring to the fact that companies such as Amway ostensibly say that you're going to make money from selling these products, but it's not true. What you make money from is recruiting people to recruit people. And the law of exponents in math, I know I'm basic, but I do understand some math. The law of exponents just says that eventually it's going to encompass more than the world population. And it doesn't take that many steps. Like, it's literally impossible. Right. And that's where the pyramid aspect of it comes
from. Agreed. And it's just funny that, you know, somebody will say, oh, this is a hierarchical organization just like this one. So therefore, they are the same. It's like saying that instant mashed potatoes are the same as whole mashed potatoes. You know what I mean? Like potato, like little dried potato flakes versus a whole potato. Mm-hmm. You could say they're the same, but anybody going on a taste test is going to know right away what they're dealing with. And it's very similar to this. It's not the same. Mm-hmm. And they use that as a trick to lure people in. And then also she finished off with a weird threat and said, also, I tread lightly making insinuations that people who are way smarter and way wealthier than you were smuggling cocaine from South America. Honey, that was a joke. Okay. I was watching a lot of Narcos at the time. It got into my head. Okay. But it's like,
it's funny. I don't even remember what you said.
DeVos and Jay Van Andel got into import export from South America. And I was like, funny, given that they're like part of a scheme. And then when somebody says they're involved in import export, it's the joke, you know, it's just an easy, it's low hanging fruit, but whatever. But she said, I'd also recommend watching the racist comments as well. I don't remember making any racist comments.
We probably said something about white ladies and she's somehow hurt. Like the thing is, just mentioning somebody's white is not racist. Just like mentioning somebody's black.
Exactly. Oh, and lawsuits will come for you. That was the final word of this very, which is funny. She hasn't made any other comments, but I assume that she might have known some of the people who came and threw a few one-star ratings down, but didn't come through with reviews because they're cowards. So if anybody else agrees with her, please feel free to reach out. I would love to discuss your comment on air. It just brings me joy to be able to see a live version of the things that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this too, because if this person is involved in, say, Amway, they're probably pretty high up, probably have a nice little downline underneath them of people that have experienced a lot of horror stories and are going through some things. And those are the people we're trying to help rescue, mm-hmm. or inform. Maybe rescue is too strong a word, but give you information that hopefully you can spread to others that are involved in these organizations. And, you know, we're going to continue to do that work, both in this episode, mm-hmm. and our final episode that is going to be pretty crazy. But in addition to bringing that review, that was fun. But I had mentioned that we had other stuff about Amway that didn't get quite covered. And in fact, Beverly, in that episode when we talked about Amway in episode 27, you crept so close to a very big point that I completely missed because my research didn't quite go far enough in a certain direction. And so when I was continuing my research on this topic as time went on, and I listened to more of The Dream, which season one, which is all about MLMs, very, very good. I highly recommend you go and listen to that series. But you had wondered, because what I had mentioned in 1979, the FTC versus Amway was a landmark court case that resulted in Amway essentially not going out of business and allowing MLMs to, a lot of MLMs to stay in business. And you had asked, well, it was in the 70s and Gerald Ford is from Michigan and so are the DeVosses. Was there a connection there? And then you backtracked a little bit. You're like, oh, wait, no, it's 79 and Jimmy Carter was in office then, so maybe not. And I let that go because I honestly didn't know. Well, the Gerald Ford connection is huge between Amway and Gerald Ford. In fact, Rich DeVos was a huge contributor to Gerald Ford's campaign. He was an honorary pallbearer at Gerald Ford's funeral and has been a trustee of the Gerald Ford Presidential Foundation. And remember, too, lawsuits take a lot of time to wind their way through the courts. While the decision was handed down in 79 when Jimmy Carter was president, the FTC filed that suit in 1975. It took 4 years to hand down that very favorable to Amway and the rest of the MLM industry ruling. There are also records in this time of Ford's presidency where Rich DeVos and Jay Van Andel had meetings with him at the White House, and that no doubt had something to do with this pending suit. And the judge that ruled in that case, in that 1979 case, disregarded all the same evidence that another judge used to rule against an MLM called Holiday Magic. An MLM we'll be talking about a great deal in the next episode. In addition to that, while awaiting ruling in that suit, Amway was allowed to write its own safeguard rules that have since become the quote-unquote gold standard in the evaluation of MLM companies. So the company that is being sued for malicious trade practices and pyramid scheme operations and all these things is now, even before the ruling comes forth, they're allowed to write the rules that dictate what a legitimate MLM is.
It's like a fox being like, oh, hey, Farmer Brown, you know, why don't I write the rules about access to the chicken coop? And Farmer Brown being like, go right ahead, Mr. Fox, have at it, you know, like, come on.
Yes.
Yep. And of course, Ford was president in 75, which I know because it was a great year because I was born.
Exactly. I'm so glad that so many great things and people did come out of that era. And I was born in 79. So, hey, both of us are born in pretty pivotal years for MLMs. So it's fascinating to me that the political influence involved here was what ultimately allowed. We're talking about classic political, like, sort of glad handing and cronyism and corruption. Let's be really frank about that. But here are the safeguard rules that Amway wrote that are supposed to help us determine whether or not an MLM is legitimate. And that is, distributors are part of the 10 retail customer policy. It requires representatives to have 10 sales to retail customers to be able to receive commissions on sales made by their team members. So That sounds kind of weird or worded funny, but you have to make a certain number of real sales to match with your team. It all can't come from sales from within the company, but it's such a small number.
I will hand them that. Yes, it's small, but I will say that is actually a reasonable thing to say. It probably should be more than 10, but, you know, I'll give them that.
Yeah. And the next one, and here's another one where things can be fudged. Distributors must sell a minimum of 70% of their previously purchased products before they can place a new order. But here's the thing. Define sell.
Yeah.
If you say you meet that minimum that's listed before of the 10 customers or whatever per 10, 10 per whatever, you're going to have possibly some left over. What if you pay for them? They're sold. You know what I mean? Or your mom or somebody. Mary Kay is infamous for this. Their numbers reset at the end of every month. And so you're going to lose your place in the hierarchy if you don't place a number of orders they're going to place those orders under their own dime and have them shipped elsewhere to make it look like they were actually sold. So there are ways to get around that requirement. And people do it in multiple MLMs and probably Amway all the time. And here we go. Amway has a buyback policy for unsold and unused products. It includes a slight restocking fee and there are maximum time limits. Okay, a lot of MLMs do that, but again, they have stipulations and exceptions. You can sell things back, say Mary Kay again, provided that the product still has the same packaging design. They regularly and routinely redesign their packaging so that you can't sell it back. And there are all kinds of other things. LuLaRoe, they ran into that too. They were only going to buy back a certain number at a certain time. I mean, there's so many catches to the sellback thing so that these companies can get away with not having to buy back their unsold products. But let's just continue to sit with it for a moment. When we talk about how we've shown in these previous episodes that these rules are getting looser and looser every day, we have found companies like Primerica that say they're not an MLM, but then in the fine print, as you discover, Beverly, they very much are. Their entire business practice describes an MLM. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, they tend to lie about their earnings statements or they fudge those facts as well. So these are the rules that Amway wrote too. And here's the thing. You have people that are pro MLM out there talking about how this is a good thing that Amway rescued us. We have so much to owe to Amway. And it's like, yeah, that's actually very true, but it's not good.
I'd seen those rules before and I either didn't know or had forgotten that Amway was the one who came up with it. So that's really interesting.
It just really goes to show too, how they bought the political favor in order to make that possible. The Dream talked to one of the prosecutors that went after both, because it was the same prosecutor, in fact, that went after Holiday Magic, also filed that same suit against Amway. These were cases were only about 5 years apart, give or take. Oh. And he just could not understand why that judge, he didn't only misinterpret the evidence, he just ignored the evidence and made that ruling, the ruling that they are not a pyramid scheme, an illegal pyramid scheme because this and this. But it's like, how can you hold another company accountable on that, but not Amway? Oh, because maybe the very rich and wealthy and influential owners are great friends with high government officials like the president.
Yeah, screw precedent, I guess, you know, which is what I thought the law largely worked on. But, you know, hashtag not a lawyer.
I also want to talk about politics for a second, because this will sum up a few things that people have said to me between episodes on this topic and whatnot. And people have said that by going after Amway, I'm making my show political. And I just want to say something about that, my friends. When organizations like this seek influence or an assist from politicians who make laws regarding said organizations, it automatically becomes political because you're involving the political apparatus. And these companies, particularly the big fish like Amway, they have no problem whatsoever buying their politicians in order to keep the money trough open and accessible to all the top members of the pyramid. They make it political for us. It just so happens that Amway loves Republicans and Republicans love them. And they're effectively trying to perpetuate belief systems that I personally find to be harmful and discriminatory. Okay, no, I'm not a Republican. I'm a liberal person. But if liberals were doing this too, believe me, I would be screaming about it. I would be taking the garbage out. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I'm ranting here.
No, rant away.
If you're looking for me to be fair and balanced, quote unquote, on this, so you can sleep better at night, the Democratic Party has done absolute jack shit about MLMs either when the ball has been in their court. When a Republican that gets a lot of favors from Amway and then a Democrat comes in, nothing happens. Now, there are excuses. You know, they make excuses, but they're not, you know, they're not motivated.
No, they're not. And Democrats, which is why I'm only registered Democrat because my state has closed primaries. Otherwise, I would be independent because I consider myself to be. I actually learned the other day on another fine podcast, 5 to 4, a Supreme Court podcast, that there was an eminent domain case. And of course, I'm now completely blanking on the name of the case. I apologize. Where the liberal justices actually were like, well, okay, go ahead, government, take this land, whatever. And that was the more liberal justices. So I assure you that people who are high up in power, regardless of party, can do this kind of thing. And you know, and the other side of it is, so what if it's political? The personal is political. That's the feminist mantra of the 70s, is it not?
You're absolutely right. And here's another, the theory, and you make a really good point about being in places of power and where things like this breed, because it absolutely looks to me, when Democrats do nothing and Republicans are benefiting off of this, it looks like it's something where one side is willing to let the other side have something in exchange for another gimme. And so the Democrats are like, okay, you have your Amway thing, but don't touch like my big pharma thing. You know, wherever their special interests are, because they both have special interests and get special interest money from various industries, pet industries and things like that. And I don't mean pet as in pet industries, I mean like their favorite industries. Maybe there's somebody big pet lobby that's giving money to a senator, I don't know.
I'm sure there is somewhere. PetSmart, looking at you.
yeah, probably. It's like when it comes to matters like this, both sides are pretty indistinguishable. That's where the argument both sides are the same has a little bit of truth to it, so you have to dig a little deeper. At certain levels, they do look very much the same, because we're talking about political office and places of power and the desire to hang on to that power. And that's going to make both sides do stupid shit, like let Amway scam millions of people out of millions of dollars because Amway happens to love traditional Christian Republican values. Now, if they were, like I said, if they were a leftist company, I would probably be coming after them the same freaking way, because this is wrong. What they're doing is wrong. And that's a universal truth.
I mean, I would like to think a leftist company would be all about, like, you know, workers, and would be all about profit sharing and this and that. But I mean, you never know. Which president? I believe it was Lincoln, the one that said, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yeah. And I think that that's an important thing. And it's not that nobody should ever have power. We're humans. We're always going to be hierarchical. It's, I think, literally in our biology. But yeah. But we can, we're not regular animals, I should say. Like, we actually can make other judgments, and we can overcome our biological programming. And that's kind of where we really need to be aware in situations like this. But I mean, I don't know, maybe that's too atheist of a thing to say, like, maybe I'm going to be political now because I'm not being religious.
I mean, you're right. And it's just funny how people will just now point at everything as like, you're making this political. I'm like, we shouldn't have to make this political. This is a human issue. And there, to me, there are just certain things you fall onto, whether you're, no matter where you are in the political spectrum. I think swindling people out of a bunch of money is wrong. I don't give a shit if you vote like me. John Wayne Gacy was a Democrat too. Does that mean that I'm a serial killer? You know what I mean? I'm not even trying to say like a make a purity test here. It's just that a lot of people got a little testy that I was mentioning Republicans a lot, but I'm like, I'm just talking about this organization. And this is the truth. I am telling the truth.
And the thing of it is, it's because Republicans are very kind of tied up with MLMs at the governmental level. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying everybody in an MLM is a Republican. I'm not saying that, but at the leadership and the governmental levels, that's the reason. I mean, stating a fact doesn't mean we're against this party. It just happens to be.
Yeah. And maybe if you're out there and you're a Republican, you're listening to this right now, and you hearing these things about Amway and they trouble you, then that is probably a good opportunity to say, hey, I got a problem here in this party. Or, you know, if I'm finding problems in my party, but I'm not going to continue down that rabbit hole. I just feel like people need to understand that sometimes we have to invoke political situations in order to explain a story and give it context. That does not mean that we are a political podcast. We are just explaining a political situation. Everybody has a bias. That's the other thing. Every single one of us is biased in some way, that if you're looking for non-bias, then you're not going to find it. And anybody who's saying they're not is lying to you. So probably another thing to consider when you're saying like, this is a biased source, just look at the information and examine it a little closely instead of going, does this align with my politics? It's good. Does it not align with it? Then it's bad. Like, let's get out of that mode for 5 fucking minutes. All right. So that's my little spiel, my little rant, my little wanting to wrap up this Amway thing a bit more, just to say that their influence was very direct with our government, and our government gave them a hand up that is the reason why we're talking about any of this to this day. This company and this government are very much in bed together, and it's a little disturbing. Nobody should have that much power to buy a government, but they're doing a pretty good job there. And I didn't even mention the fact that, you know, Ronald Reagan did all these massive conventions for them where he was a keynote speaker, the Bushes, all down the line. And not even just them. Bill Clinton played ball with Amway quite a bit, too. He's been a paid speaker at multiple Amway events. So a Democrat. He's the only Democrat that Amway has ever cared to play with. That should tell you something about Bill Clinton, probably. But
I know he's a cute old man now.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly. So please go back and listen to episode 27 on this, or episode 26 if you want the full primer. Mm-hmm. And also go listen to The Dream, season one, if you want to get a lot more in-depth information on this whole thing, because they did a great job in bringing the people on to interview that were part of it and all that. But I just didn't feel good kind of leaving everything kind of not wrapped up as neatly as I wanted to with regards to Amway. So they are still a scam. Bay.
Oh, Allison.
I'm the worst. So I'm going to wrap this up here, since this is just a shorty episode, but we are going to be back pretty much ASAP to talk about more MLM horror stories and an MLM that will blow your socks off in terms of the crazy, crazy shit they got up to. So is there anything else you want to add, Beverly, before I sign us off here?
No, I tend to just interrupt and talk over you when I have something to say.
So no, keep it up. I love it. All right, ding dongs. I will be back next week with another one. So be good. This episode was produced by yours truly, Allison Dixon, and wouldn't be possible without the amazing contributions of countless friends, family, and Patreon supporters. Big shouts also go out to Nathaniel Dixon for all the show art, as well as Spencer Morlock and Ken Dixon for the music. I'll be back with something new next week. In the meantime, you know what to do. Be good, you little ding-dongs.